So today, the title of my message to you this morning, From God is With Me. And I don't know, for those of you that are parents of younger children, or actually, I've watched teenagers not pay attention. So children in general, right? I watch adults not pay attention. So if you've just got kids, period, husbands, wives, right? I saw a meme come across and I sent it to Kirsten. It says, I don't know what I did before I got married. I sat at every green light forever because I had no one to tell me that it had turned green. I don't know what I, right? We've got, and here's the funny thing. Yesterday she had to do it to me twice. Light turns green. I'm just sitting there like nothing's going on, right? But for those of you that have children, I have a 10-year, a 9-year-old, and a 3-year-old, right? And now my 9-year-old has gotten to the age in life to where I leave the little one with mom and I'll take the older one, right? And sometimes it's just easier. But there was one instance where we left church one night, and this is late at night at Walmart, and we all understand the times that we live in, right? There's evil around every corner, and we have to watch our children. We have to filter everything they watch, everything they listen to, everything they see, everyone they're around. Who's their parents? What have their parents gone through? What are their parents dealing with? Right? What do they believe? What do they not believe? Who's their uncles? Who's their aunts? Do they have a crazy one I need to worry about? Right? When I'm in public, I don't know, right? We can't take our eyes off our children. It's just the times we live in. So when I'm in Walmart, my son loves Legos, loves them, right? Every time we go to Walmart, as soon as the Jedi doors open, right? Because I know there's a lot of people like me that secretly walk up and go, As soon as the doors open, the first thing Hudson asks, can we go look at the Legos? I'm like, Huddy, we're going to be in here for 12 minutes. And Walmart has gotten smart. Instead of just having one aisle full of stuff, what they've done is they'll take the cool stuff, put it on the end of different aisles. Right? Because they know that there's no way on this planet we would pay $4 for a Snickers bar inside the store. But at the cash register, when you don't want to walk back inside the store to get a Snickers bar, $4 is worth not having to walk back in there. Right? And so they do this to our children, and they put, so I'm walking through Walmart, and this is late, and I told Hudson, no, I've got 3 things to get, we're going home. And I'm walking, and I'm talking to him, right? And I'm in this pace, because when I go shopping, I know what I'm there to get. I don't have to peruse. If it ain't got the XL on the tag, don't need it. I don't have to, no, right? I don't try it on. If it don't fit, I'll take it back, right? When I go to Walmart or when I go to Publix, I'm there for specific reasons because that keeps me from spending extra money, right? So I'm in Walmart and my mind is on the things that I'm there to do. And I'm making sure that Hudson is with me. And as I'm walking, I go to ask Hudson a question. And Hudson's not with me. Because he has stopped to look at the Minecraft Legos. And I am the distance between the stage and the back of the church from my son. Because I'm on a mission. I've got my thing that I'm doing. And he's standing there. And as I get further away from him, I'm going, Hudson, Hudson, Hudson. And then I see him. And I'm like, son, with me. Stay with me. And we always get opportunities to teach our children things. And when I finally get him next to me, I tell him, son, I can't protect you if I can't touch you. I can't keep you safe if you're not with me. People can get you if you're not with me. People are more apt to mess with you if dad's not there with you. Amen? Right? So I've gotten this thing where now when we go to the stores, I tell both of my children, with me. I've trained my dog, with me. With me. You stay with me. I can keep you, my wife, I can keep you safe if you're with me. Amen? And that's how our relationship with Jesus is. We are supposed to be with Him. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to be led by Him, not leading Him. We were called to follow Him, not lead Him. We were called to be followers. We were not called to stop and do our own thing. Because Jesus is on a mission. He came into the world to get what He needs to get done. And we are to follow Him, not stop and stare at all the random distractions and get separated from Him. Because when we're with Him, we are protected. We are cared for. We are in His will. But when we are separated from Him, and this is like Bishop said last week, this is not just about salvation. Yes, if you have not experienced the salvation of Jesus, yes, you are separated from Him. But this also goes to those of us that have been following Jesus for 30 minutes or 30 years. Some of us have been following Jesus for so long, we figured that we've got it figured out. That we don't need the shepherd anymore. That we don't need to be led anymore. That now my relationship with Jesus is so secure, I do the leading. I tell the Spirit where to go. I tell Jesus what to do. I demand things of God now. I don't walk on promises. I am the promise. And that's dangerous. The Bible calls that arrogance and pride. And pride is the destruction of all things. You want to get taken down a notch? Get prideful. This guy right here, experience in it. Of getting prideful. And it is far better for us to humble ourselves before God. Because one way or another, you will come into the presence of God humbled. We can either choose to humble ourselves, or God Almighty will humble us. I have gone through life thinking that I was special. I'm not that special. I'm not too special to be led. Amen? I want to read you something in John. If you guys will turn to me to John chapter 10. And we're going to hang out here for just a minute. And we're going to tie this in because it ties into the events that we're watching unfold and the days that we live. Amen? If I'm in Walmart and I'm telling my son to follow me, right? Or if I'm in traffic and I'm traveling with three or four cars and someone says, I don't know where we're going, and I tell them, follow me, and then I leave and you stay in the parking lot, whose fault is it that you get lost? If you're coming to my house and you say, well, Pastor, I don't know the way to your house, I'm like, well, just follow me. Just follow me there. And then I go to the left and you go to the right, whose fault is it that if you get lost? It's not mine. I told you to follow me. Amen? In John chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 1. And he says this. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Jesus, who is the truth, is telling us a truth. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice, and they come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. It never says that he just opens the gate and lets us run free. He says that he opens the gate and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them. He walks ahead of them. And they follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger. They will run from him because they do not know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration did not understand what he meant. So he explained it to them this way. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep do not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely, and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I, say Jesus, is the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he is working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. Again, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. Amen. And then in verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep listen to me and my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus says, look, when he calls us, when he called the disciples, when he calls us to be his disciples, he says, come follow me. And then he tells us, I am your good shepherd. You will know me because you know my voice. A question that I get asked very often, Pastor Hunter, how will I know the will of God? Well, how will I know God's will for my life? Know his voice. He's telling us a principle where the opposite is also true. If you are my sheep, you will know my voice. Which also means if you are not his sheep, you will not know his voice. If you don't know Jesus' voice, you can't be his sheep. In the days and the age that we live in, it is imperative that we know whose voice we are following. I want to help you right now. I am not your shepherd. I am not your shepherd. King David says it this way in Psalm 23, something that we love to quote when times get rough. Amen. King David said it this way, the Lord, say Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right path, bringing honor to his name. That's part of our problem is we're following Jesus trying to bring honor to our name. Even when I walk through the darkest of valleys, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me and protect me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing me with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. King David says that Jesus is my shepherd. We, as human beings that stand before God and preach you messages, we are not your shepherds. Jesus is your shepherd. What we are as the leaders of this church is we are sheepdogs. We take directions and orders from the shepherd. We protect the flock. We try to herd the flock, but we are not the ones that lead the flock. Jesus is the one that leads you. And you need to know his voice Because right now you can go home and turn on every news outlet that you can possibly pay to listen to, and you will hear a different voice coming from all of them. And if we don't know whose voice we are following, you will be led astray. Trump is not your shepherd. Biden is not your shepherd. Obama is not your shepherd. DeSantis is not your shepherd. The Supreme Court is not our shepherd. The city of Enterprise is not my shepherd. This Dell County is not my shepherd. Jesus alone is my shepherd. It's Him that we follow. It's Him that we trust in. It's Him that leads us through the darkest of valleys. It's Him whose rod and staff comfort me to the end of the age. You know what else Jesus' rod and staff does? Not only does it guide and lead and protect the sheep, it beats the fire out of wolves. Not only does that rod and staff correct me, it defends me. Only if I'm with Him. That's why it's imperative that we stay unified under the voice of Jesus. Not under the voice of denominations or teachers or falsehoods or pretenses or isms and schisms, that we stay united under the voice of Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. We live in an age now where we cannot afford to be divided as the church politically. I don't care if you wear red, blue, donkeys, and elephants. We are all unified under the blood and cross of Jesus Christ. And we need to quit fighting with each other based on something stupid like who we vote for. A kingdom that will be torn down. I love this country. I wear my red, white, and blue, but this country will not stand in the end of the age. The Bible says that everything will come in subject under Him. We have a responsibility to follow our shepherd. Amen? Proverbs chapter 27, verse 7. Listen to this. He says, a person who is full will refuse honey, but even bitter food tastes sweet to the hungry. If you are hungry in your spirit, man, if you are hungry and starving for direction, I urge you to eat the good food, because even bitter food will taste good to those who are starving. That's why He says, do not neglect the gathering together. That's why He said when the church was established, the first thing they did was devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. Pastor Hunter, what is the apostles' teaching? We get so caught up in every whim and fancy and false doctrine because we're following men and not Jesus. We're following the ones doing the talking and not the one they're talking about. If you know this word, you can discern lies from truth. I'm here to tell you right now, right? I'm here to tell you right now, who Jesus will never go against the Word of God. So if anybody stands up and teaches or preaches you something that goes against this book, it is false. And here's another hard truth. A half-truth is also a lie. How do we know that? Because the enemy presented Eve with a half-truth. Destruction came from a half-truth. It was just enough truth to get her to stumble. And that's what the enemy does. You guys could see right through a bold-faced lie. If we turned on the news today and they said the sky is green and the grass is blue. Now, most of us would go, I knew that wasn't right. But if they told us a bold-faced lie, we would not believe it. So what the enemy does is he works just a little bit of truth, right? None of us put onions on a mousetrap. Unless y'all have got different rats than we've got. We put some cheese there, right? Watch this. When you want to give your dog medicine, we don't wrap it up in something they don't want to eat. We put peanut butter on it, or we put in a piece of ham or a piece of bread, something that the dog will eat that hides what they're really consuming. So that's what the enemy does. The enemy takes that lie and he coats it in peanut butter and he coats it in something that you want. And when you're eating it, you are swallowing something that is disguised as something you like. But if we know the voice of our shepherd, when the enemy, the thief and the robber, comes to present us something that will steal, kill, and destroy things in our lives, we could go, nope, that goes against the voice of the one I'm following. Right? I have a relationship with the three people that I share a home with. My wife and my two children. Right? If you go to my wife, and I know this is going to be funny, but it serves a purpose because it's true. If anybody in here went to my wife and said, hey, Hunter said to take all of his Auburn stuff and burn it and buy him Alabama stuff, you know what she would say? Now, that doesn't sound like my husband at all. That's a lie from the pits. Right? Now, that on surface level, that's funny. But listen, she knows me and I know her. So if you go tell her something about me that's out of pocket or something that I wouldn't say or do, guess what she's going to do? She's not going to believe you. Now, she may come ask me about it, but she's not going to believe you because she knows me. My children, if you go to Hudson and say something that doesn't sound like something his daddy's already told him, he's not going to do that because that's not what his daddy said. Right? And so if my relationship with Jesus is to the point where someone tries to lead me astray and tell me something that goes against this, I know this. You're not going to tell me something. When I see something on social media or TV and these guys are talking out the side of their neck about stuff that they have no idea what they're talking about, and my spirit is challenged to a way where I look and go, that's not right. I may go check with dad just to see. God, I ain't never heard that before. Let me see. That ain't what that says. And then you know what I do? Click and turn them off. Right? If I ask you and you say, Pastor Hunter, we want to come to your house. Where do you live? And I tell you, Enterprise, over in Turtleback, we're going to go hear this. And I start getting out on the road and taking directions, and you go, wait a minute, he said he lived in Enterprise. Now we're in Dothan. If we were going to Enterprise, we're going to go through 27. If I turn and go 231 towards Dothan, most of you are going to call me and say, Pastor Hunter, I thought we were going to your house. Why are you taking me this way? Where are we going? You wouldn't keep following me in hopes to end up at my house if I'm going the opposite direction. But most of the times we follow all of this stuff, all of this nonsense, hoping we're going to end up at home, and we know we're being led astray because it makes us feel good. It doesn't challenge us. It doesn't bring us closer to kingdom. It brings us closer to our glory and not God's. But we live in a day and age where we really need to live what the words on that sign out by that road say. Glory to Him, not glory to me. Amen? Who are we following? What are we following? Because we're all following somebody or something. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. In Luke chapter 2, the Bible says that Jesus' parents went into Jerusalem and they went to the temple. And I've told this story before, and it blows my mind every time I read it. Because I picture myself doing this, and then what my wife's reaction would be. And Jesus is like 12 years old, and they go to church. And they leave church, and 3 days later, they realize that their child is not with them. Now, I think that Hudson's special, and my mommy thought that I was special. But I wasn't going to die for the sins of mankind. I wasn't the Son of God. Mary noticed that the Son of God was missing 3 days later. If Hudson was missing from me for 3 minutes, you know what my wife would do? 3 days. How do you lose the Son of God for 3 days? The story doesn't, I would love to know what that conversation was like between Mary and Joseph. I thought you had him. I thought you had him. It's the Son of God. We have lost the Son of God. Obviously, Jesus was more pure than I ever was because I would have never let Pam leave that down. Hey, you know, when I die for the sins of mankind, you left me. Hey, Mom, you know, when I go to pray, you left me. He looked at the one whom he loved and said, hey, John, take care of her 3 days from now. Right? That's what I would do. But when they finally realize that Jesus is missing, which still blows my mind, when they finally realized, they go back and they look at Jesus and they start asking him, why would you do this to us? Now you know that Jesus was not like me because he didn't know, you left me. What did Jesus do? He stood there and he adjusted his clothes. And he says, why are you looking for me? Now that would not have been the response that Hudson should have ever given me. Hudson, I told you to stay with me. Where'd you think I was going to be? I'd have said, boy, if you don't want to be missing for 48 hours, you better. But Jesus looks and he says, why were you looking for me? Where did you think I was going to be but about my Father's affairs? Jesus is about kingdom. He said, where did you think I was going to be but about my Father's business, my Father's affairs? And a lot of us will leave here today and leave Jesus at church for 3 days and come back on Wednesday and pick him up again. And then we're going to leave Wednesday night. We're going to leave Jesus here for 3 more days and we're going to show back. And he said, look, I'm about my Father's business. What is his Father's business? Bringing heaven to earth. That was the whole plan for the garden. When he created the garden was to have heaven on earth. That is his goal. Jesus' plan is to bring as many people into the sheepfold as possible. That's what we should be about. We love to talk about and celebrate the fact that Jesus said, it is finished. Jesus' work was finished. Ours just began. He told those disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. What is the gospel? The good news of Jesus. That we are being led by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that he's coming back for us one day. And our job is to not let wolves into the sheepfold. We have become so consumed with seeing Jesus' face that we have forgotten that we were called to look at his back. We were not called to lead Jesus and for Jesus to do what we want, what we think, what we've planned. But our goal, our job is to humble ourselves before him and ask him what it is that he would have us do. We were called to follow him, to be his followers, He's not called to be ours. He doesn't follow the will of glory to him. Glory to him follows the will of Jesus. The United States, he was never called to follow the will of the United States. The United States was created to follow the will of Jesus. That is why the nation of Israel has been in the trouble that she has been in for generations, because they tried to get God to follow their will and not them following his. Don't let that be our mistake as disciples of Jesus. We are to stay with him. Luke 9:21, and I'm going to finish with this as quick as I possibly can. After Jesus has this conversation with Peter, when he says, "Who do people say that I am?" Right? We know that conversation. They all start saying, "Well, you're a prophet, and you're a really cool dude, and all this stuff." And Peter says, "You're the Son of God." Then Jesus has this conversation with them. Jesus warned the disciples not to tell anyone who he was. "The Son of Man must suffer terrible things," he said. "He will be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He will be killed, but on the third day he will be raised from the dead." Amen. That's what we just celebrated 2 weeks ago. But guess what? We all love to say, "But Sunday's coming." Right? Sunday came. Guess what else comes? Monday. So here is a conversation about Monday that happens. Then he said to the crowd, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose yourself and are lost or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth." Here's another truth. "Some standing here right now will not die before they see the kingdom of God." Jesus simply says, he's our shepherd, but if you want to follow him, you must give up your way. Did you know the early church was not called Christians? The early church was called followers of the way. So Jesus says, to follow me, you have to give up your way and follow my way. You have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Don't pick up your cross and follow this or that. Pick it up and follow me. We love to wear our crosses on our necks and t-shirts. It's supposed to be on your back. Why would we pick a cross up and follow it? So when your way gets in the way, you can nail that thing to the cross on your back. When pride raises itself up, we crucify it. When problems in our marriages and our families arise, we crucify it. When sin tries to rear its ugly head, we crucify it. Why? So we can follow Jesus. Because he's the one leading us down the narrow path that leads to God. The Bible says, "Wide is the path to destruction, and narrow is the road that leads to glory." And we will only reach the end of that narrow road if we follow him, if we stay with him. When he looks at us and says, "Hey, with me. Stay with me. Stay with me." I taught this to our students one Wednesday night. He says, "I am with you and you are with me. I am yours and you are mine." If we stay in him, how do we do that? This. All of these guys that are here that sit in that youth room will tell you every Wednesday I tell them how important this is. This is different than 50 Shades of Grey. This is different than Harry Potter. This is different than Jurassic Park or John Grisham or anything that's going to be comic books. This book right here is life. This is how we know Jesus' voice. If you do not read this book, I encourage you to start. Figure out what Jesus is saying. We will not understand what the Lord is saying if we don't know what He said. This is how we get led astray. Amen? Because we don't know what Jesus has said. If we want to see what Jesus has for us, we have to follow Him. I want to read you something in James as I close. James chapter 4, starting in verse 6, he says this, "And he gives grace generously. As the scripture said, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you." Say, with me. "Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor." Amen. If we humble ourselves and resist the devil, then he says he will flee from us. We don't do anything proud and puffed up and arrogant. There's a difference in coming to the throne room boldly and then coming to it proudly. There's a difference in being bold before God and being arrogant before God. Bishop taught us last week about being meek. Amen. Or the week before last about being meek, and the meek will inherit the kingdom. That's what this all is about, us bringing heaven to earth. Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way: "My Father who is in heaven, glory to your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Give me this day the things that I need, and forgive me my sins as I forgive those who sin against me. Lead me away from temptation and deliver me from evil. For yours is the kingdom with power and glory forever and ever. Amen." When he sat in that garden and he prayed, "God, not my will, but your will be done." Why would we think that we would be any different? I have dreams. I have plans. But I have to humble them under God and say, "What is it that you would have me do? Where is it?" I know where I want to go. I'd love to go to the beach. I'd love to go to Disney World. But God, where is it that you want me to go? And I'll follow you, even if it's to Nineveh. Will you follow him to Nineveh? Or is the only place we're interested in following him to is Wonka's Chocolate Factory? Some of you are called to places like Nineveh because that's where God's trying to get his message to. But if we don't know who we're following and what voice we listen to, Jesus said, "My sheep will know my voice." And then he says, "I will call them by name." What does that mean? When he walks over and he flips that page and he goes, "Lamb's Book, Joe Brown." When he walks over there and he goes, "Tasha Brady. There's my sheep and I know them by name." James Hunter Hughes. Amen? That's whose voice I'm following. In this last days that we live in, that's what I'm following. I want to read you one more quote by Mr. A.W. Tozer. He says this, "The only safe place for sheep is by the side of the shepherd. Because the devil doesn't fear a sheep, but he sure enough fears the shepherd." Amen? Awesome. If you guys would stand up for me. I've got two questions that I want to ask and then I'm going to be done. And my two questions are this. We have been in the youth group For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about relationship. And not relationships between each other's or the opposite sex. We've been talking about relationships with Jesus. Because that's the most important relationship you could ever have. And we've been talking about being with Jesus, being like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. But the first step to that, before we can do any of that, before we follow the shepherd, we have to get to know the shepherd. Amen? And so I want to give you that opportunity today before you leave. If you would say to me, Pastor Hunter, I heard the things you said, but I've never started a relationship with Jesus before. And I want to know him as my good shepherd. And I want to follow him. If you want to start that journey today, if you'll bow your head and close your eyes, I just want to offer you the opportunity to start a relationship with Jesus this morning. If that's you, if you'd say, Pastor, I've never started a relationship with Jesus, and you want to do that day, if you would just lift your hand just so I'll know who I'm praying for. Awesome. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. Thank you. That's awesome. All right, my second question is if you'd say, Pastor Hunter, I have a relationship with Jesus, and I've followed him before, but somehow, someway, I've been led astray. I have backslid, I have fallen away, I've slipped away, whatever the case may be. And you say, Pastor Hunter, today is the day that I want to get my life right with Jesus. If that's you, if you just lift your hand, I just want to pray for you. I want to know who I'm praying for. Awesome. Thank you for those hands. That is awesome. Thank you. Thank you. And it's not just an awesome thing. The Bible says that when souls come to know him or come back to him, the Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice. And not only do the angels rejoice, the Bible says that God himself rejoices when souls come to know him. Amen? And we are going to rejoice with you. But if that's you and you raised your hand, I just want to do what I said I would do and pray. And it's not important that you hear me pray. What's important is that you hear yourself talking to your shepherd. Amen? And if you would, just repeat after me. Father God, here I am. I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe that he came, that he died, and that he rose again for me so that I can have a relationship with you, so that I can be made right in your sight. Thank you. I love you. And help me follow you. You are my good shepherd. In your name I pray. Amen. Let's give them a hand. We rejoice with heaven. That's awesome. And remember, Jesus says for us to pray for our enemies. Amen. We should be praying for everyone that we know and we come in contact with. And do not forget to pray for the nation of Israel. Amen. Is that cool? Everybody good? Awesome. Love you guys.